When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is time for your TNA Impact post show. It is June 27th, 2024. I am Adriel Pearl, and of course, with me always, the number one confidant, Cresta Star by Collision. How you doing?
Arr, I do kind of look like a pirate today. I know you guys can't see if you're listening on audio form. Thank you so much for listening to where you get your podcasts. But I do have like a hat, a jail shirt, and I got a... It's giving One Piece reject. I found Two Piece, not the One Piece.
Well, give us, instead of One Piece or Two Piece, give us 5-star on that review on your audio platforms. And of course, leave a thumbs up on the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. We love it when our chat gets involved. We love it even more if you're available to give us a little bit of your hard-earned cashiola. Or you can head over to humperchats.com. That is our Streamlabs platform. That way, if you're listening on any other form of whatever that's not the YouTubes, you can head over to humperchats.com. Cresta will tell you how, when, where, did all the stuff.
You take your finger, I'm gonna do it on pirate. Arr, so you take your fingers or your hook hand and you type on your computer or your fancy jazz typewriter and go to humperchats.com. You put in your electronic doubloons, any amount will get your comment read on air if we're live, and it supports the channel. It keeps our boss Sean Ross sat for putting us in Davy Jones' locker. Humperchats.com. Arr.
Well, you did it. I'm proud of you.
I committed to the bit.
You did. I also commend that. Guys, check out In the Weeds over on Fightful Overbooked. Myself and Jeremy Lambert got to drop some fun contract news that coincided with Fightful Select and with TNA. Sinner and Saint, a team that we've been able to talk about here on this particular Impact post show, they have officially signed a deal with TNA Wrestling. They are part of the team. Very happy to see that, both as Canadians and also just as a really great tag team in a division that is needing a little bit of a shot in the arm. Cresta, what did you think when you saw that Sinner and Saint had signed with TNA?
I was forced to entertain because the one time I did see them, I was like, okay. And this is something we also spoke about on this channel at length about, hey, what are we doing with the TNA tag division? It's giving, I hate to say it like this, but it's giving the women's tag division of pick a company. You got your champion and then a ragtag. So I'm glad that there's a lot of reinvigoration. We even seen that tonight with Diener saying that me and cousin Jake, the band's getting back together. So there's a lot to be excited. The new addition, very well welcomed.
Yeah, it's exciting news. So looking forward to the development of Sinner and Saint. Again, shot in the arm for TNA. Go check out our interview with them. And of course, over on FightfulSelect.com, we got more info on that and notes on our Giselle Shaw interview that also dropped this week as well. In the Weeds is a good show. I'm not just saying that because I'm a host. I'm also saying that because y'all should be listening to it. We'll talk more about Fightful Select a little bit later, the best $5 in the business. But overall, tonight, this was the second taping in Chicago. We're in it. This is it. Philly is tomorrow. What do we think of overall tonight's Impact?
I'll be honest with you, besides the main event, I was sufficiently sports entertained. This was a very video package heavy episode of TNA, but the video packages, every one of them were immaculate, even I'll say that. So, you know, sometimes you got to give, sometimes you got to take. I will say if I had to give it a star rating out of 4, I'd give it 3.
Okay, that's fair. I thought it was a solid show for the most part. I thought that there were some really good segments that came out of it. We're going to talk about the good and the not so great. One thing I do want to point out is that certain things that were talked about on the show made a lot more sense when I realized where people were going to physically be this weekend and why they are, I don't know, taking a break in the Bahamas, for example. So let's lead off with that. Gia Miller opens Impact in an in-ring interview with Jordynne Grace. That's something we haven't done much of before, having an in-ring interview to start the show. Jordynne Grace comes out, says she spoke to Santino Marella, and that Ash by Elegance gets her Knockouts title match, and it's going to be tonight. And then out comes Ash. Shiz's personal concierge, Iceman, wearing himself a neck brace.
Swerve.
Thank you very much. I saw a look on your face. And then said, no, not tonight. You got private security. We don't need to do this. We're not going to do this in Chicago. We're going to do this in Slammiversary. And it's signed. And Ash is taking a break in the Bahamas, to which I said, oh my God, they have to pivot. I don't know if you know where Ash by Elegance will actually be this weekend that is keeping her away from being on the show for the next 4 weeks.
I don't actually. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't keep up with that woman's schedule. I don't know her.
Okay. I only figured it out tonight because our Fightful Select Discord started pointing things out to me that made perfect sense. Ash is in the Bahamas. No, she's not. Ash is going to Australia to work the World Series Wrestling Most Wanted tour along with Steph DeLander, both Ryan and Nick Nemeth, and Alexander Hammerstone, who hasn't been on TV, but it's good to know that he isn't injured and he is able to compete. Matt Cardona is also on that tour, but I don't know in what capacity he's performing. But regardless, there's going to be a few people missing from this upcoming set of tapings, and that's a thing. So your Knockouts championship match is currently not going to involve much in the ring. I hope they film some vignettes in Chicago to get them closer. But yeah, this is a thing right now. Your thoughts, having heard that Ash is going not to the Bahamas, but to Australia, along with all those other names.
Okay, on the one hand, I'm like, ugh, thank God. I had to see her for weeks. But on the other hand, I'm like, maybe this isn't a bad thing, right? Let's just say I'm someone who's a wrestler and I'm cognizant of the people say online. What if her going to this show changes something in her brain on a chemical level where she comes back and now she's super ready for Jordan Grace? That inner witch that she's been ready to let out, that she does after matches, but not during matches. Now she, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to go into it with a positive mindset, because positive attitude, positive outcome, positive thoughts. I think it will suck. However, TNA's, not to say that it will suck. It'll suck not having those people. However, TNA's roster is so deep that you can make meaningful something with somebody else who we haven't seen in a while.
Counterpoint. Ash has not had a meaningful televised match in TNA with anybody.
Listen, I'm trying here, okay? I'm giving you, Xia Brookside hit her with the
ring pops.
Yeah, that. That was not what I was thinking, for sure.
Jordan Grace is going to hold an open challenge in Philadelphia. I'm hoping that something comes of this. I don't know how they're going to do this. Having Ash, who is a character, not be on screen doing her character for upwards of 4 weeks, or at least in the ring where there is a crowd reaction associated with it, that's taking a big chance. That is taking a big chance, and I don't know if it's going to pay off, because you're already swimming uphill with Ash by Elegance getting the Knockouts championship match at the next pay-per-view. Not a random, you know, TNA Plus show. This is a pay-me-please pay-per-view. I'm a little concerned. I have to be honest. I don't know if there's enough behind this in a division where they've been lauded as the heads of TNA. The Knockouts have been the reason for the season in TNA.
No, I agree with you completely there. I don't know if this is like we're gonna start with what you did earlier. What if this is sort of when we drive and she go and get beat up by Giselle Saw, who says you shouldn't even be here. I could get jiggy with that. It'll keep someone who I think should be towards the title away from the title, Giselle Shaw. And then you have, you know, her and Ash by Elegance beef. And maybe we could even continue the NXT Open Feud Challenge with somebody from NXT coming over to Jordan Grace. I thought you said, saying pretty much you thought it was over. I don't personally watch NXT, so I don't know if Tatum Paxley has friends or, you know, if there's somebody who isn't doing anything else. I do agree that it is taking a big risk with Ash by Elegance, with, unlike the system who we hate them, but we hate them in kayfabe in that sense, nobody kind of cares about Ash by Elegance, and I don't like that. I want people to care. And like you said, a meaningful match, TV time, some promos, something that's going to make us like, okay, I could believe it. Because right now I'm seeing squish squash, and I don't want that on my Slammiversary card.
Now, you mentioned Giselle Shaw. In our interview with her, we did mention the Gail Kim partnership and how they've been working together. And you and I have been talking about this on and off for the last little while. There is a possibility that they could run a bigger singles knockout match. And that is Gail Kim, Giselle Shaw, one-on-one. That could be the story that they tell on the TV show for the next 4 weeks, getting to that match. And if that's the case, yeah, Knockouts title takes a bit of a back seat to the rest of the card. But if you're bringing Gail Kim, you know, she's not in retirement, but someone who hasn't wrestled since Impact 1000, where she also got injured, got concussed, then that's a big match. And that almost makes up for what we're talking about. And I would be okay with that, especially if it eventually gets to Giselle Shaw challenging for the Knockouts World Championship at either the next live event, the next TNA Plus show, or all the way down at Bound for Glory.
No, I agree with that. I don't mind Jordan, because to me, Jordan is one of those champions, whether she's in front and back or somewhere in the middle, she's still a force to be reckoned with. So I can agree with your point there. If we get a meaningful, meaty, juicy feud somewhere else in the women's division, Jordan can put her feet up. She's allowed. She's allowed. But I don't know. I don't know how this helps Ash by Elegance. And that's what my focus here, if I'm bringing the conversation back to her, because everyone else will be fine. She's the one, like you said, is swimming upstream against a rapid current. So I don't know what this does. I hope she sees the vision that we do not. I'm not a wrestler. So, you know, I'm trusting in her pitches and in the pitches of the crew and the team, and hopefully it translates. I hope it translates.
People are mentioning Natty. They're mentioning, you know, her WWE deal is coming up imminently. I'm talking very soon. She's someone who could show up in Montreal unless, you know, we'll see where things play out. I'm not getting my hopes up. I think it's a great idea. I've mentioned it before on this show as a possibility, but I'm not going to sit on it for too long. Jordan Grace beats up the security that Ash had. Santino comes down, breaks it up, says, no, we're not doing this. And then they say, we're going to do the first match. And the first match is Masha Slamovich versus Zaya Brookside. Now, brings me to someone in the chat asking who I think will answer the open challenge for Jordan. I think it's Masha, because they did that stare down and it felt like they were just looking for a reason to give Jordan a really good match on TV. And those two have met up before for the Knockouts Championship. Could be a fun one between Jordan and Masha. What do you think this open challenge will bring for tomorrow's Impact tapings?
I'm hoping, like I said, it does bring an NXT girl back over. I don't want it to be like a one and done. It's cute. You did it once with Johan, you did it once with Grace, but why not continue that feud in that sense? If we are building to Slammiversary, which is next month, and Ash by Elegance is going to be away, and that's Grace's partner, you know, her dance partner, why not continue it back and forth? Even if, not to jump ahead, but just the Spitfire promo in particularly jumps out in my brain. Oh man, yelling for no reason. Now you guys are going to fight each other. Okay, maybe they can get reps in going over to NXT, fighting some NXT girls and vice versa. I apologize for the loudness in my background. It's dinner time.
The cats are in the piano again.
The cats are actually in the kitchen, Ratatouille style.
They're making their own dinner. Good for them. It's about time those cats figure out how to make their own.
They went into business for themselves, Joel.
Good for them. At least now you don't have to worry about it. Masha Slamovich does beat Zaya Brookside, though. It's a good opening 6-minute 50-50 match. Lish gets on the apron. Zaya Brookside knocks her out, allows Masha to hit the snowplow, get the victory. That's kind of why I'm leaning towards Masha answering that open challenge. What do you think of the match between Slamovich and Brookside?
I respect the crap out of Zaya Brookside, because for every power move that Masha met her with, Zaya was there to meet her with a quick move. But the menace, the meddling from Alicia, I have a Edwards meddling counter, and I said one, MC squared, MC three, and then finally she gets hit. And finally, when Zaya's had enough, that's when Masha's able to capitalize. And that, unfortunately, is why we trust the system. There's always, like the Usos, there's always another Us. There's always a member of the system out there to make sure that the system works, as that's how the system works. Cheating works. If you lost and you didn't cheat, you only cheated yourself. So the match itself was fine. I like Zaya Brookside. I can't wait to see where she develops. I could see her legitimately being an X Division champion, a knockouts tag team champion, or if they come up with like a mid-card title for the women there, I could see Zaya being your inaugural. She's really good. She's really good.
Yeah, she is solid. We've seen a little bit of her, but as we start to grow with her character in TNA, there's definitely a feel like there's going to be some plans for Zaya Brookside moving forward. I enjoy that. Let's move on. First Class are backstage. DJ Who Kid's back, first time since Las Vegas and those tapings. Who Kid brings AJ Francis the International Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. Now, I think that this particular segment will go over the heads of a lot of people. So before we get into the historical, you know, importance of this, I want to get your thoughts on this First Class segment.
Well, firstly, I was in the bathroom when the segment started. So I don't know what happened before the history lesson, but I can tell you what happened after the history lesson. A few things happened here. I respect AJ Francis, whether it was a script or you knew it off the top of your head, to have that type of wrestling knowledge and know that wrestling lore. I think that is incredibly impressive just to be rattling names off like that. However, I don't care. This is giving Miz. And I hate to say it like that because I know he connects with a lot of people and I get it, but like, you can't buy a championship. That's not how it works. And even if so, the people you rattled off, Luthez, PCO at his prime, Joe Hendry just cooked you, my guy. You haven't had a match to even pretend that you could buy that. So in kayfabe, what are you doing? You don't even dress like the, what was his, I don't know, I almost said Big Boss Man, not Big Boss Man. You don't even dress like Ted DiBiase. So what are we doing? What are we doing? And you say, I paid him hard cash. It looks like you got that for $200. Stop. I think there has to be some sort of to the Riz because it's giving boneless Riz. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I respect the history lesson, but the Riz is really boneless. It's boneless Riz.
So there's been no history lesson. I'm about to give you the history lesson. Slammiversary is in Montreal. This particular International Heavyweight Wrestling Championship is actually not the International Heavyweight Wrestling Championship, Crest of Star. It's actually the Canadian International Heavyweight Wrestling Championship from a little company that's been around since the 60s, 70s in Montreal called Lutte Internationale. That's Wrestling International, International Wrestling. PCO won that title. They've went through the lineage of everything. They started the PCO and AJ Francis stuff last week, which, again, it was kind of like, all right, this is where we're going, and I need the wedding instead. But PCO, staple of Montreal, going for a championship in his hometown that is synonymous with Montreal wrestling, there's a good story here. There really is. I think it's going to be on commentary to do two things. One, make it important, and two, this is actually on AJ Francis, to have Canadian International Heavyweight Wrestling Championship open challenge match in Philadelphia at the tapings. Something that establishes that, yes, like you said, he didn't win this thing, but he's going to defend it. And he's going to defend it against the jobberiest of the jobbers. They'll call him like Marcel Tavernac or something like that. They'll give him some stupid French name. They'll make him look like a mime, whatever. It'll be a little bit comedy, a little bit sticky, but the idea here that it lures out PCO for the eventual match at Slammiversary for that title. It's a good mind game. It's a good little act of storytelling, and I really hope that this is just nugget one. I'm the kind of guy who'll go back and be like, nah, I know where this is, and that's me. I think most people watching are just like, what the hell is this? I saw people on the internet just being like, you know, all right, go and buy the belt. And AJ Francis being like, oh, I don't think you understand what this means to certain people. So there's good stuff in this. And I think AJ will give some credence to this. And I think, and I hope that TNA will spend those TV tapings making this a major plot point.
I can see that. If you do, like, when you said the jobberist of jobbers, I'm like, well, you know, if it's that much of a prestigious title, maybe you could convince El Generico to come out of retirement. But that's not a jobbery McJobber. And that's different. But I don't mind it. Even if it was someone who was kind of like hometown hero, Canada, and AJ Francis cheats to win. I could see that because that would lure out PCO, or maybe even lure out PCO and Steph DeLander. So you're getting a 2-for-1 special with a storyline continuation. I could see it. I hope that's what happens. But I'll say I don't have faith. I don't have faith. I'm sorry.
We'll find out how it goes. We still got a month until Slammiversary. Still got 4 weeks of TV tapings to go through. So we'll see. That's just my hope. If anyone's listening out there in TNA land, that's what I would like to see. And I'm the person, right? Am I the guy? I'm the guy that you're booking for.
Book for us, me and Joel only. Everybody else sucks.
Yeah. Lars Fredrickson makes Jody threaten Danny Luna face each other. At what point did Lars Fredrickson get booking credentials in TNA? I assume he went to Santino. I said this from the get-go. I like that Lars and Jody Threat have a history together. I like that this is, you know, Lars gets to live out a certain dream of his in wrestling. But man, they're finding weird ways to incorporate Lars Fredrickson on this program. I love this. So I don't know how you're feeling about Spitfire having to go one-on-one with each other in the big challenge.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I like all three of these people individually. This is kind of like when you put chocolate and orange together, or chocolate and mint. Why? This does not go together. Like, these separate are great. My literal note is old boy yelling. I don't understand this. I think Danny Luna and Jody Threat were doing fine. Everybody loses. You can't be the winner at every time, but to make them fight each other, isn't that the antithesis of a tag team? Literally, two segments later, when you have the triple threat tag team, Rascal said, you guys have to fight each other to make sure you're on the same page, and you guys have just got together. So, like, I don't know. I'm happy that people are happy involved in this, but from the viewer's perspective, I'm like, I don't know. I'd rather see Danny Luna. I'd rather see Spitfire compete than get yelled at. That's just me.
So let's just bring this up. The problem with this, when Ace and Bay faced each other, is that they just did this. They literally just, and you know what they also just did? They just did Speedball Mountain facing each other. And yes, the X Division Championship, number one contendership, was on the line. We don't need to do this with every single tag team who's in some sort of state of flux trying to figure it out. There are better ways to do it. Them facing each other is not a challenge. Them facing each other is just a waste of a match, in my opinion.
We also did this with Motor City Machine Guns and Time Splitters and Alex Shelley. I'm thinking we literally did right before they left, when Shelley was like, I want to leave because you guys threw in the towel for me.
Oh, that's right. It's just, it feels lazy when you have to do the same trope with your tag teams all the time. And I would, after this, I don't want to see it again realistically forever, but I don't want to see it again for a very long time, because you just did this trope in succession multiple times, and it gets repetitive. It's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there are ways to do it, but Danny Luna and Jody Threat truly didn't need it. I don't see how the lack of tag teams in your division is their fault for losing. Like, your champions, an established tag team together. That's what we've got.
They're also not at odds with each other. They never have
exactly
to be at odds with each other. The only thing that, and again, I mentioned this weeks ago, is like, Lars is trying to plant seeds so that they do break up. Like, sure, maybe, but that's not useful in a knockouts tag division that is lacking in tag teams. to have them go against each other is completely against what rebuilding the team is about. They're supposed to be getting back on the same page, which they did by winning major tag team matches over the last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Very strange. It is very strange that they're running it this way, as you got to face each other, unless this is Lars trying to, you know, join the system in the end. And he's going to join up with Masha Lisha on the, you know, rematch.
That'd be a weird take, but that'd be a very TNA thing to do.
That would be a very big no thanks for me, but it's can't think of another reason to do it unless or whoever the Knockouts tag team champions are at the time, he walks over and joins them. I don't know. I just
maybe he gets beat up and they bond over his untimely TNA death. Not for nothing, people die in TNA every day, V. Take it as a badge of honor. Not everyone dies in TNA, but a lot of people do.
That's true. Could be the reason. We'll find out soon enough. Ali's X Division State of the Union. Oh,
this is great.
This was the highlight of the night for me too. Ali comes out and he essentially says the video that you saw and the footage that was shown was it had unclear audio and a distorted picture. It's fake news. It's AI generated video. And we're still number one everywhere, including Chicago, even though it's also number one in crime. And the whole time, there's a group of guys in the crowd in the front row. One of them looks a little familiar. One of them looks looks a little Canadian. Yeah, looks a little bit like Vince Vaughn. Yeah, like Vince Vaughn with Vertigo. So let's for shits and giggles, let's call him Vaughn Vertigo, shall we? Vaughn Vertigo launches a drink at Ali and gets his ass beat. And then out comes Speedball, makes the save, breaks down. Speedball gets the title in his hands, and then the Slammiversary match is made. It's Speedball and Mustafa Ali. No shock there. Going back to Montreal for Speedball. This is a big match. And then the promo afterwards from Speedball outside, I really liked it. He said the mistake was putting the title in my hands. I loved that thing. I want it back. Straight up babyface promo. Loved it. I also love that, if you know, Speedball saved another Canadian from getting an ass beating. What do you think of this segment? Because I know you said you were high on it.
So this is the third time in my entire wrestling life where I've seen the camera angle into something stupid. The first time I've seen it was when the camera forgot to turn off and somebody was talking to Paul Bearer about pork and Undertaker's mom. And that was a million years ago. And as a kid, that blew my mind because how did you not know that the camera was the Lord? And then they came back from commercial and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This time, at least Ali had a lie. He said it was AI. I'm trying not to laugh because when he said it was AI, I said, oh, you're clowning. You are clowning. He said the clear picture was unclear. And I'm with Tom Hannafin like, bro, we saw it was you. This was great. This was great. The second time I see something like this happen, similar, was Roman Reigns at the press conference. He told that girl to get out. Everyone who DM'd me is like, Crystal, was that you? Heck y'all, because I have more couth than that. But like, come on, talk about Planty McPlantington. That was funny. I laughed. This whole segment was great. Ali is a piece of crap, but the best piece of crap in professional Speedball has to win. And if Speedball doesn't win, he needs to be cheated out his non-existent boots where he has to wear boots and then lose the boots in a match in order to be cheated out his boots again. Because like, there's no way after you did it. And this segment was exactly what it needed to be. Getting booed throughout, lying, fraud, fake news. There's a presidential debate going on in America right now that was horrible. So this is apropos. I thought this was great. This was top tier. 10 out of 10, would recommend. Watch this segment.
You know what? Ali posted something on Twitter tonight, and I immediately was like, yeah, let's go. It's the one thing I would do. I would vote for Mustafa Ali at this point.
Oh, hell yeah. I would commit voter fraud and vote for Ali twice. Not the voter fraud.
No, that's fine. Commit the voter fraud. It's okay.
I mean, with all the frauds going on in America, it was a little voter fraud for Ali.
Yeah, exactly. Ali oh, my goodness. Dude, I don't even want them. I don't want any wrestling program to touch what happened tonight. Just let that go.
The This is the only political thing I will say tonight is, Joel, you're so lucky you're a Canadian because we're fucked.
I got Sean Ross Sapp telling Jimmy Van, don't sell your house.
Yo, if you listen, Joel, if you are looking to adopt a small black child from the Bronx.
Sorry, the cats have to stay with
me. Aw, damn it. I'm sorry, Johnny. You guys can't come.
Okay. They can go. They can be ungovernable. It's okay.
They can live with Jimmy. Keep Jimmy company.
Yeah, exactly. I got a guest room and gigabit internet. Good enough.
You can literally feed me out the cat bowl.
Might work. Ace of Base defeat Rascals and Jake something and Diener. Promo from all three teams before Bay does the tope starts the match. This was good. I like the promo. It was a little bit, you know, like you said, pointing out that, you know, the Rascals are like, we didn't fight. Everyone else did here. We should probably win. Trey fakes an injury at one point, so Wentz can choke Diener in the corner. Jake something wrecks everybody, including the Rascals, in a great. He catches Ace Austin in the middle of that. How can I put it? It's like a handstand that he does before he does the kick. So he catches him in the handstand and then dumps him on top of the Rascals. And it looked nasty. It looked like he was about to drop him on his head. Luckily, rotation, we're okay. Art of the Fold on Diener. ABC get the win. Talk to me about this match.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, this match, I will say, very standard until that Jake something hot tag where he cleared out ABC. He cleared out Rascals. Like, to your point, when Ace Austin went to go take him out, he caught that man's arm, slammed him on the Rascals. And mind you, this is after Trey Miguel tried to Hurricane Rana, old boy, on the outside, Jake something, who caught him, rolled through while still catching him to put him up in the powerbomb. And Trey Miguel tried to do it again with momentum for him to roll through again to throw him at Zach Wentz to then throw Ace Austin at it. Jake something is a monster. I understand why Ali was talking about weight limits. I get it. I understand. I get it. This was a Jake something showcase. I do think it was the right call to have ABC win here. But I was thinking, how is ABC going to win here? This man is a literal, this is Rhino. This is Rhino and Heath. This is Rhino and Heath, bro. This is great. I love it. Diener taking the pin makes a lot of sense here. Maybe we see the ABC split. I don't want them to split. I want this to put that to bed. Let that be the end of it. Like you said, we already got another team doing it. Let them be back on the same page and get a good tag team championship match out of this. But again, I don't know what we're doing with Jake something. Because after a performance like that, why is he in the tag division? Oof. I see. Well, I know why, but oof.
Well, he's got a match in that the Slammiversary series. So there is that. Who knows? Maybe he'll win against Joe Hendry. No, probably not. Anyway, that's fine.
That's why I feel like he got the showing he got tonight. Because Joe Hendry, make him look really, really strong. And Joe Hendry, who's really strong in his own right, to uptick, like we talk about, you got to beat a monster. Jake something is literally a kaiju, bro. So you it makes it. Sense.
No, you see it. That's exactly what it is. And I think it's the right way to do it. Make Jake something look big. And I think there's, again, this is, we say this a lot, Jake something, you know, something's coming up for him. We don't know, but this is one of those moments where it's like they made him big, they made him look good. He's doing the thing with Diener. Feels like that'll lead somewhere, whether that's tag titles or if that's something of a beatdown and a bit of a feud between the two. You could do that too. Either way, the Hendry and something match probably has exactly what you're saying to it, which is nice. Folks, getting your super chats, getting your humper chats, the system promo, I love it. They're still doing that camera angle where you're doing the steady cam shot, and then you're doing those close-up shots. They basically bury Santino, and then Moose tells JDC to take care of the loose cannon, and no one knows who that is. Who do you think is a loose cannon that they're talking about?
Jeff Hardy. I'm gonna just go ahead and say it. Because I don't know nobody's personal life. So everything I'm about to say is kayfabe within that realm. But I was on this man's Instagram and he was in the forest singing. So he is a loose cannon. What you doing in the forest singing, Jeff?
He lives in the forest, of course.
Why you singing in the forest? You believe in Joe Hendry and you believe in Jeff Hardy. He's a loose cannon. That guy, he's not all together. Get him, JDC, because you ain't all together there either. I don't know. I mean, that was a joke. I don't know who the loose cannon is. Out of the people there, it's like, I choose Sammy Callahan.
That's who I thought they were talking about, because the Macklin qualifier match against Sammy Callahan was up next. But also, Sammy Callahan hasn't really posed a threat to the system, so it didn't make sense for them to call him, you know, just to start something with him, because Macklin does defeat Sammy Callahan in a match that was fairly hard-hitting. They did a little bit of, you know, hard strikes and everything. Macklin kicking out of a second rope DVD and a cactus driver was some good, solid stuff. Macklin's working as a tweener babyface again, and I think it's weird, and I don't like it. Gets the KIA off the rope, gets the win. What do you think of this match? Macklin is a part of the six-way Slammiversary.
Not me. Not me out here being, let's go, Macklin.
Weird.
Let's go, Mac. You hate it. I love
it. Unusual. It's not normal.
I'm not going to hold you. The tweener thing works considering everything that he's been through. Because I think there was a promo right before when he said, look what I did to PCO just to retain. Imagine what I do to get it. And I'm like, well, you know, he's not wrong. He did set that man on fire, hecking around with Bully Ray, put battery acid in that man's mouth. I mean, yeah. I like this. Because it's very much like, yes, I'm a bad guy. I ain't Jonathan Gresham. I ain't spitting in nobody's mouth. Like,
the pre-match videos that they've been airing have been so good.
Chef's kiss. Whoever's their video editor now, whoever's doing it now, give that person their flowers.
And the creative behind it is good too, because you're making these matches matter. It's already for a shot at the world championship match, which is great. But they're giving it a little bit more. And you have former champions being a part of this whole thing. Sammy Callahan is a former Impact World Champion. Steve Macklin is a former champion. Rich Swann is a former world champion. Nick Nemeth is not, but he also has titles from other companies from around the world. There's, again, the matches make sense. They're helping. They're just, also, it's still a six-man elimination match at Slammiversary for the world title, where I said, and we'll talk about the main event, it just made me want Nemeth Moose one-on-one with literally everyone else doing literally anything else, including a King of the Mountain match.
Well, I will say, because I do see this comment in chat about that these packages help the new streamers. I watched the Chris Van Vliet, Joe Hendry interview, which was great, by the way. But one thing that stuck out to me is Joe Hendry saying how he reverse engineered all the popularity and the fame. And I would not be surprised if TNA isn't taking a nugget from that. You're getting a lot of these popular wrestling tubers, YouTubers, TikTokers, Instagrammers in the space who you're now giving them license to stream it. So now some of these people who are like, I'm never watching TNA. What the fuck is that? I'll listen to Cresto talk about TNA before I watch TNA. Now getting a chance to watch TNA, you're getting these video packages. So if you don't know who these people are, you may know Dolph Ziggler, but you don't know Nick Nemeth. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a good function for these video packages as far as TNA creative is concerned. And I bring up Joe Hendry in that sense of, look at how we view Joe Hendry. Look at where his, that song, Say His Name, the virality and how it went. Look at how that led him now to a world championship and not just on some jokey joke. I've only ever seen that one time ever. And that was Matt Cardona when he was an internet champion, when he forced that and he made himself get a title shot. And Vince was like, listen, I don't care, but we're in a different era now. And I'm like, it wouldn't make sense. You can get new people eyes on TNA. You can get wrestlers over in TNA by these popular people who people trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to rant, but like, I think it's great. These packages are great.
No, they go a long way. That's what a good, you know, wrestling show will do, is they will tell the stories of these wrestlers, especially the ones who are going into big championship matches, or at least getting these opportunities. And again, former champions in this, you know, set of matches, this road to, it makes sense. And I like the way they're telling them. They're traversing the story along with the championship, you know, lineage of these guys. It's good stuff.
It's good S-word, pal.
It is. It really is. It's still a six-man match on at a pay-per-view main event for the world title. That's the only thing where I'm like, come on.
I agree with you. It should be like a stipulation. It should be a King of the Mountain. I'd even take an Ultimate X. I know it's not the X Division, but I would still take an Ultimate X in that. For six men, see, and so far, it's so diverse. And Moose is a wrestler that can literally be super serious or super clownery. So in a six-man tag, I would love a stipulation where he can be clownery, where he could also be serious and cheat to win.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. But for now, we have Macklin added to the match. Josh Alexander's already in there. And we'll get to the last guy. Should be no shock there. And of course, Moose is in the match because he's a champion. Kushida defeats Allen Angels. Listen, this match just happened. Tanaka punch out of the sky. Hoverboard lock. Angels taps. Looks like a bitch. But of course, it's Kushida. He always gonna look good. Gresham comes out post-match wearing the suit and the mask, looking badass, beats up Kushida, and he's about to spit in Kushida's mouth because it's kink night in TNA. Not gonna bash it. Y'all do what you want to do. But security comes out, masked up, gloved up. They don't want any ink on their anythings. What do you think of this whole thing? What do you make of this? Dr. Kushida wins again.
That Tanaka punch was comedy. You couldn't tell me.
Out of the air. He's got him real good. That shit's great.
That should have been the finish. Honestly, between Angels looking like he really got his knock blocked off and that Tanaka punch looking stiff, but also really like almost cartoon, like he blew up his fist. That should have been the finish. The hoverboard look. The match was what exactly what you thought. Listen, I don't kink shame. Okay, I'm not in the business of judging. I will ridicule and mock, but I will not judge. And Gresham, you gotta make them pay extra for that. Come on, dogs. On TV for free? For free? We already got Speedball giving away the grippers. You're just gonna spit in someone's mouth for free? Bruh. I think it's weird, but a good kind of weird. I just want it to go somewhere. I like Jonathan Gresham fundamentally, so he can do no wrong. But I don't like these start, stop, half, won't they, will they pushes with Jonathan Gresham. So I don't care this is ooky, spooky, or whatever. He wants to infect the world. Okay, great. But do something with it. That's my only, my only comment, not a threat.
With the benefit of hindsight, Sami Callihan won that match on the countdown against all odds. Sami Callihan, former world champion, then gets in to the Road to Slammiversary matches. That makes sense. It still opens up Gresham possibly challenging, let's say, a new X Division champion coming out of Slammiversary. You got 4 weeks to get him to a point where he's having a major match at Slammiversary. It could be Ultimate X. You could easily have Gresham win Ultimate X. He is the octopus. All the octopus got to do is wrap them tentacles all around tops going across the cables and getting the X. Could do it. Have him win a string of matches, have him qualify, and then he gets the match against, let's say, a new X Division champion of Speedball wins in Montreal.
If he does an Ultimate X match and doesn't spit in everyone's face like he's Triple H, I don't want it. I need him to spray and pay on everyone and just win the match.
That's awful. That's awful. Now I want it. You know,
it's good off.
The thing is, I want that, but I also kind of want Allen Angels to get in so that he can, you know, kick everyone in the dick again like he did the last time.
Do we still have that picture of just...
I was just looking for it. I don't have it. That was the best. I feel like I got rid of it, man.
He was just jumping for dear life, hitting for yam.
Just... I have it saved somewhere. I know I do. But man, that photo of Allen Angels just reaching up and getting Jake something in the pills.
I agree with that, but I still stand on my if Jonathan Gresham is gonna be in it, it has to be like Brock Lesnar entering something that he wasn't even supposed to be a part of and beating everyone's ass. It's like you get a in the face, you get it, and everyone's like, you're too stunned, and now you're ink man. That's the only way it has to be. I don't want a challenge with no 30-minute class. I just want spit in the face. I want big meaty men spitting other meaty men in the face. In the mouth.
Now you know what kind of OnlyFans Crest the Star subscribes to. Listen. We're not going to kink shame. We are not going to judge. We are just going to move on to the Matt Hardy promo. Just
ridicule and mock.
Well, leave that in the comments. Matt and Revy Hardy versus Edward Edwards and Lisha Edwards is happening in Philadelphia. They're going to film that for Impact. Jeff Hardy's excited. It looks like it's Myers and Edwards versus the Hardys at Slammiversary at this rate. Your thoughts on this promo? What are we doing? Yeah, they'll call the Ultimate X match a Huck to a match. You're welcome.
That's funny. I'm going to echo what I said last week. Alicia, I hope you know how to regular fight, because I don't think Rebby Hardy knows wrestling is fake.
Hey, John Alba told us in not so uncertain terms that who said this was over. Like, yeah, okay, we get it. They're going to do a match. They're doing the mixed tag. It makes perfect sense. Jeff Hardy is excited.
I love Remy Hardy. Y'all can't make me hate her. Her and Brian Cage's wife, y'all can't make me hate them. I understand. I get it. Stand by your men. I get it. You couldn't pay me to hate this woman. I love it. And she looks great. So I don't know what this is going to mean. If this is a one-off, a two-off, or yes, I'm here for it. But again, y'all can't make me hate Remy Hardy. You can't make me hate her. You couldn't pay me. I mean, you could, but you'd have to pay me CM Punk, you have to pay me a big bag of money to hate her. You'd have to pay me an astronomical amount of money to hate that woman.
Jeff Hardy's been able to come into Canada for the last little bit. I understand there is a new, I don't know. We're going to find out. But things can be handled if given enough time. Joe Hendry is going to be on the Matt Hardy pod. That drops tomorrow. So listen to that.
I can't wait. Like I said, back to the Jeff Hardy singing in the forest. I want to hear the duet between Jeff and John.
I think they'll talk about the Jeff Hardy, I believe in Jeff Hardy vignette or video that he put out. If you haven't seen it yet, it's very funny. Go check it out. But let's get on to our main event. We're hitting the home stretch, folks. Get in your super chats. Get in your Humper chats. Nick Nemeth qualifies for Slammiversary. He defeats Rich Swann. Again, the promos were great. Rich Swann talking about Nick Nemeth burning the candle at both ends. Talking about being a multi-champion everywhere. Swan's good. Makes sense for him to be in this match. The gin and juice can spot was hilarious because they brought it up earlier in the little backstage segment with AJ Francis. They get ejected, do DJ Who Kid and AJ Francis. And that's when Rich Swann takes the match seriously. They do some good stuff. They do a back and forth. The finish is a super kick and a knickknack, and that's the patty whack, give a dog a bone. Nick Nemeth is qualified for Slammiversary. I needed to just see the look on your face. Thoughts on the match? Because I know it was a TV main event.
I'm trying to find something nice to say. So all I got is rolling down the street, sipping on Endo, sipping on gin and juice. Lay back. I got my mind on my money on my mind. This is the correct answer. Who won?
It was a match that happened on television.
I don't like the disrespect of DJ Who Kid. He's a legend. He's an icon, and he really shouldn't be involved with these shenanigans. That also being said, AJ Francis getting ejected was the highlight of this match, because the whole crowd in unison just started to nah, 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 and that never happens. There's always someone off. So shout outs to you guys for that. But that's my two cents on the match, and it doesn't even make a dollar.
Again, match is fine. Rich Swann does have that unlimited gas tank. I do have to put him over for that. He's a guy that you don't expect to be as deep in a match. Like a guy who can work a 25, 30-minute match. You don't always expect that from Rich Swann, but he can always do it, and it's pretty cool to see. And again, Nick Nemeth, he's a solid wrestler. He is a very good performer. He's excellent. No questions asked. The match delivered. There wasn't anything wrong with it. Maybe I was expecting a little more out of it, but if you wanted just a solid main event television match with stakes, then yeah, this was it. No swerves, no weird stuff. Rich Swann took it seriously after his buddies were ejected. Like, there was good storytelling in the match. There just wasn't anything to really dig into. Other than kind of figured Nick Nemeth was going to qualify for the Slammiversary main event.
Especially after AJ got ejected. I could see Rich Swann qualifying, and that could be like your, this is the guy we're going to pin no matter what. You know, not to say that Rich Swann isn't talented. I, again, I agree with you there that Rich Swann is incredibly talented. It's just, I don't know. This match was a match, and it was a fine match, and that's what it was.
So I will, going back to the six-man match, I will qualify that the one really good thing that this has going for it in terms of making it not a cheap-out match, it's an elimination match. So everybody will have to get pinned, except for obviously the one guy who wins. So this isn't going to be one of those, we're not doing this, you know, to save somebody. We're doing this because a bunch of people are going to get pinned in this match. This isn't, you know, we're bringing out Tanahashi because the other guy doesn't want to take the pin in the sixth man at Forbidden Door. I didn't say that out loud. Dex Baker sends a super chat saying, nothing to add. Watch the show and Cresta is cool. It is cool.
That's crazy. But you know, sometimes the intrusive thoughts win. And also, thank you for thinking I'm cool. I'm this mustache. You see the other guy.
It's your cat. The other guy's your cat.
Yeah, she's a champion. I did the job.
And y'all were our champions tonight for hanging out with us here for the TNA Impact Post Show. Not a long one, but TV tapings are happening this weekend in Philadelphia. Slammiversary is on the way. I will be there live, looking forward to it. If you're going to Slammiversary, I know it's a month away. Love to hear from you. So just you know, leave a comment. Tell us how you thought. Tell us what you thought about the show tonight. Why not? There's this. There was ROH earlier. Thanks to those folks for doing it. Cresta Starr, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, I will be in the weeds this weekend. No pun intended, and not actually in the weeds with Jeremy and Joel.
Hey, not on our show that I didn't hear about.
Not actually, me and Jeremy having a rap battle. You didn't know? No, I'm kidding.
Why not?
No.
Cards, I guess.
Tomorrow I will be at Brooklyn watching SmackDown. So if you are in the New York City area and you want to like hang out, I believe myself and Queen of the Ring will be there. So, you know, come say hi. Saturday, I'm here. Fightful, Collision, Rick and Iridian. It is the go-home show to Forbidden Door. And on Sunday, I will be at Forbidden Door. I'm so excited. Very happy. Thank you again, AEW, for always letting your girl come here and jabroni it up. And I'm going to come up with some good questions for the scrum this time. Send me your questions on Twitter. No, don't do that. I lied. Don't do that. I'm not going to read that. Don't do that. If that was a lot, follow me on Twitter. Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stein with two E's, because they got the first account that said Cresta Star. All my Linktree stuff is there. And I updated the YouTube stuff. So you can watch every TNA post show myself and Joel Pearl have done in a single playlist. Every Collision show in a single playlist. I love you all. Joe Pearl, what do you got going on? Tell the kids where to find you.
I am in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked. Go to youtube.com/Fightful Overbooked. Myself and Jeremy Lambert break it down for a good two, maybe 2.5 hours, talking about the wrestling news, talking about the results, interviewing talent from all over the place. We're looking forward to next week. It's a big week. Jeremy is coming to Toronto for Money in the Bank. And we are going to do a show together. So that's going to be fun for the
first
time.
That's so cute.
Yes, first time he and I are going to do any content together. We have met in person before, but it'll be the first time that we're going to do some in-person content. And we'll probably hit some interviews as well. So looking forward to that. But yeah, check out the show if you haven't already. And of course, subscribe to this channel and leave a thumbs up on your way out. Crest and I will be back maybe next week. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. But either way, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. That's my last name, I promise. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.